I just want to thank God for the opportunity to share this word with you. When I prepare a message, I really see the Spirit, but to be honest with you, it really does probably more for me than it'll do for you. It just gives you a closeness to Jesus. So I pray that what I talk about here today will touch, and I believe it will touch somebody's heart. I think it's meant for somebody here, maybe more than one person. It might be meant for someone you know. So earlier this week, we taught in BBS that we taught that we could trust Jesus, trust His teachings. You know, if we follow His teachings, we'll be wise. He gives us wisdom. We can lean on Him. He'll carry our burdens. He's our strength when we feel weak. And He's the hope of all mankind. Last week, we discussed the Lord's Prayer. Kind of different verses in the Lord's Prayer. So there's a particular part of the Lord's Prayer that I want to talk about today. But can we just all say together the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So the part I want to talk about is Thy kingdom come. It's in the Lord's Prayer. We say it. Thy kingdom come. So now I want you just to take a few seconds and imagine this. Jesus is coming in 30 seconds. What's your first reaction? Is it joy? Happiness? Just anticipation? Yeah. Or was your sense maybe a fear? Dread? Maybe a little regret? That's not so good. You know, if hearing that Jesus is coming soon kind of freaks you out a little bit, maybe it's time to there's things we need to get right with God. You know, we all sin, everybody sins. We try not to, but it just happens. We try not to again, and it happens. But we need to repent and confess our sins to Jesus. He's faithful. He'll forgive our sins. He don't only forgive them, He forgets them like they were never there, right? What? I don't remember. It's a pretty awesome God we have. So I want to read a little bit here with John. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. It's on the board. You can follow with me. I got it written down here. This is in the Bible, in my Bible, it's red letters. Jesus speaking. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. You know the place? You know the way? Anyone?
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is the way. Awesome. And you know, there's an instruction book right here. I'm only going to pick it up. I was going to bring a littler one. But that's fine. No. That's the book of instructions right there. It tells us all about Jesus and the way, the directions. So I want to go to our next verse. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Again, think about it when we're saying the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, we do not need to write you. For we know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. What's that mean? You won't expect him. Let's jump down now to verses 9 through 11. It says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you already do. And we do good in this church, but it should be farther than this church. We should encourage one another, build each other up. Friends, family, total strangers. And it says up here, whether you're awake or asleep. You know, somewhere else in the Bible it tells us that when a Christian dies, when our body dies, it's like falling asleep. So if you think, I look at it, whether you're awake or asleep, whether you're alive or whether you're dead. So we'll go to the next one here. It's Luke 12, verses 39 and 40. Again, this is Jesus speaking, red letters. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. That's to all of us he's talking. We all must be ready, because he's going to come when we don't expect him. You know, none of us really know how our life here on earth is going to end. Are we going to just die a natural death? Not expect it. Maybe just a sudden death. Are we going to be swooped up to God in a moment, in a blink? One thing for sure, we're all going to do. These bodies are all going to die. Our bodies are going to turn to dust. The same dust like that Jesus formed us out of the ground, and he breathed life into us. You know, it's the only thing God created that he breathed life into is mankind. But our spirit, when our body dies, our spirit and our soul, it's going to end up in either one or two places, heaven or hell. We don't like to think about the second one. And you know, we're made in the image of God. God made us to be in heaven. Hell wasn't created for us. It was created for the devil and the fallen angels. But we know that some human beings are going to not make it to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, as we discussed. That is Jesus. So you think about it again, thy kingdom come, where? Come, Jesus. How do we know where we're going to end up? We must believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and that he paid the price for our sin. Not just our sin, everybody's sin. Not just sin that happened years ago, but sin that we're going to later today, or tomorrow, or next year's future sin. He died. He paid that price. He paid the ransom with his own body. He made a covenant with God the Father. Just think about that. A blood covenant between God and God. It ain't between some slaughtered goat or a sheep and God. It was Jesus' blood. And we believe that he was buried. And he died for our sin. 3 days later, he came to life. God raised him to life. And we must believe that Jesus is the Word of God. The same Word that created everything. Jesus is the Creator. And we must believe that the Father, God, and Jesus, they're one. The Bible tells us they're one and the same. So it tells us we must have faith. The definition of faith, according to Webster, is to have trust, belief, confidence in something or someone. So when we speak of faith, we're speaking about confidence. Confidence in the Bible, confidence in the Word of God, confidence in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. I just lost my place here, just like Mary Ann did the other day. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. You know, keep in mind all the time that we're talking about when we're saying the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." For it's by grace that we've been saved, through faith. It's not from ourselves. It's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance to do. To do good works. There's a lot of good works that happen that I see people that have done here. But we're supposed to do good works. Doesn't mean it's going to get us to heaven. It means because we believe in Jesus and we're thankful for our salvation, that we should do good works, help others, and do it to glorify God. Matthew 5. Click. Matthew 5, verse 16. Jesus speaking again. Red letters. This is where he's talking about the parable of lighting a lamp. And when you light a lamp, you don't cover it up with a shade. You put it on the lampstand so that everybody in the room can see. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So people ought to recognize our good deeds. They ought to see something in us. Some people might not recognize what they see, but they'll recognize it as good. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus speaking says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. One particular part of that is, if you remain in me. We can't. Obviously, if he says, if you remain in me, there's times when you don't remain in him. Something happens. But you can always get back to him. And think, bear fruit. What's he mean by bearing fruit? In Galatians, Paul tells us once again, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What else could be considered good fruit? Question to all of you? Anyone? What would be good fruit? Kind of covers it all.
Sharing the gospel.
Exactly. Telling God's word. We're actually told to do that in the Great Commission. You know, there's a lot of fruit producers here that I see, really. But maybe some here, or maybe someone we know, really isn't producing that much fruit. Maybe something's wrong. Maybe there's some weeds that need to be pulled out of their life. Maybe the branch is trimmed back just a little bit to get that stuff that's bothering you from producing fruit out of the way. Well, maybe we just need to fertilize it a little more and work on it. The fruit will come. In James chapter 2, verse 17, I like thinking about James and reading about James. James is the brother of Jesus. Jesus is the older brother. James knew Jesus since he was recognized his older brother. When he was 2, 3, he grew up with Jesus. So, anyway, I just think I love to hear James' perspective because he probably knew Jesus. Well, he did know him all his life. But listen to this. Faith, believing in something. Remember, it was believing in something. Faith, we believe in Jesus. It says, in the same way, faith by itself that's not accompanied with action is dead. We gotta have, if we believe in Jesus and have faith in Jesus, there's gonna be some action. Something's gonna change. It is gonna change. If it doesn't change, it says right here, it's nothing. Your faith is nothing if you don't have some kind of action. Again, I want you to think, thy kingdom come. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. It says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want them to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Let's stop there for a minute. What's that bring into mind? It's me. I'm 64 years old. I'll be 65 next month. There's things that I grew up with, and I'm sure you grew up with, were wrong. They were wrong. Stealing? You shouldn't steal. If you steal less than $1,000, it's okay. Man shouldn't lie with man. That was a problem even back forever. But now, if you say something about that, they'll call you a homophobe. It's okay. It's okay. You know, I'm not happy being a boy. I'm going to go to the doctor and be a girl. That's okay. It's okay. You can do that. We're living in them times that I just talked about right there. They turn their ears away from the truth. They turn aside the myths. Let's go back to that reading here. It says, but you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Discharge all duties of ministry. Again, we'll go to Webster here for a second. What's an evangelist? Webster says it's a person who seeks to convert others to the Christian faith. So we were just told to do the work of the evangelist. And then ministry. You think, well, I'm not a minister. I don't have a ministry. I don't have a church. It's not that at all. Again, Webster. Ministry is a person or thing which something is accomplished. We can accomplish stuff. Be an evangelist. You can accomplish something. You might be able to change somebody's life. Tell them about Jesus. I got a question for you again right now to imagine something. This is actually happening in parts of the world, and it's only going to get worse. Again, as we talk about thy kingdom come. Tells us things are going to happen. So imagine right now that if being a Christian is illegal, you're going to get arrested. You're going to get thrown into jail. Think about this. Is there enough evidence in your community? Is there enough witnesses to convict you of being a Christian? Or not? Well, I saw that guy do that. He's not a Christian. Don't worry about that dude. Or, gosh, you know, I see him prayer. He's an outstanding. There's something about that guy. I recognize that he is a Christian. We got to convict him. Well, he's a partier, man. We have a good time. Think about that. Is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? We got to bear fruit, do good works, so that God's glorified. We got to glorify God. That's our purpose. The Bible tells us that. That's our purpose for being here, is to glorify God the Father. Let's go to Matthew 24, verses 40 through 42, actually. Again, this is Jesus speaking. When he comes to gather his people, two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch. You do not know at what day the Lord will come. Thy kingdom come. Again, thy kingdom come. We're asking Jesus to come. And that's when Jesus comes to gather his people, Christians, the church, the Lamb of God, the bride of the Lamb. We call it the rapture. The word rapture is really not in the Bible anywhere. So I want to get gathered up when he comes. And right after the rapture, it'll start a 7-year period of tribulation. But those taken up in the rapture, his people, Christians, believers, will be given white robes. And I hope I'm one of the we will be given one. White robes. And the white robes represent righteousness. Our righteousness comes from God. It's a gift through Jesus for believing in him. He makes us righteous. So we're going to be gathered up. Everything's going to be good. All the things that were bad in our life or thoughts, they're going to be good. It says also here in Revelations, or it says, not now, but it says that the number is a number so great that it can't be counted. Tens of thousands by tens of thousands from every nation will be gathered up, taken. Imagine driving down the street. Where'd they go? I hope I'm not saying that. Hopefully I'm one of the poof, poof, poofs. But that's the way it's going to happen. Something, if you're not one of the poof, poof, poofs, I'm just going to do a condensed version here of the book of Revelations. Revelation stands for revealing. Revealing. It's a revelation of Jesus. Everyone here, maybe, most everyone's heard of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's interesting that the first of those horsemen, he's going to have a white robe on. He's going to be riding a white horse. He's going to have one crown on his head. That's the father of all lies, the deceiver, the imitator. He's going to take a lot of people with him, especially he's going to have the answers. All these people disappeared. I've got the answer. Remember me on the white horse and the crown on my head? He's going to deceive a lot of people. They're going to take his mark, forehead or hand. And there will be wars, famine. There is now. It's just going to get worse and worse. Finally, Jesus is coming back. The second time, Jesus is coming back. This time, everyone will see him. People won't get snatched. You're going to be watching him. I can imagine it's got to be up there like the sun. Oh, there's a new sun in the sky. What's going on? Is it going to take days to get here or hours or whatever? But every eye, it says everyone will see him coming on a white horse. A white horse. Remember the imitator was on a white horse? This guy on a white horse is going to be labeled King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he's got many crowns on his head for all the nations. It ain't just one little crown representing lies. Check this out. He's coming in. We're all seeing it. Not we're all seeing it. Hopefully we're not seeing it. But every eye that's on earth is going to see it. And right behind him, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. A number that can't be counted. White horses. People on the horses are going to have white robes. Remember when I said the rapture? You'll be taken to heaven. What are you going to be given? White robes. We're going to be part of that army that comes down here. Cleans up everything. That's the kingdom. That is the kingdom that we ask for when we pray the Lord's Prayer. That kingdom come. So I just... Did I get to Revelation yet? I'm going to read that. 22. It is up there, right? Again, doing good works. Showing fruit. Producing fruit. This is Jesus speaking. This is the last book, the last chapter in the Bible. The last chapter of the last book in the Bible. Not the last verse. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. My reward is with me. I'll give to each person for what they have done. Is he talking about fruits? Is he talking about good works? We're not only coming back with white robes. We're going to get rewarded for every little thing that we do here. The littlest of things. He won't forget them. He says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who are washed in the robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. And may go through the gates into the city. Let me just think back in Genesis, very first thing. Garden of Eden. Two things you couldn't touch. Tree from wisdom, of good and bad. And the tree of life. They touched the tree of wisdom and known good and bad. God said, get them angels up there, big swords. You're out of here. We don't want you touching that tree of life. And they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. That's the same tree of life. It just amazes me that at the end of the Bible, it's just like the first part of the Bible. Now we get to get that tree of life. We get a chance to go with God. We get to enter His kingdom. You know, we all have our choice. We all have a choice. Not just us here, but everyone. We're all made in God's image. I don't care if it's a homeless man on the street, the guy that looks like, I don't want to touch him, or who it is. We're made in God's image. God loves them. He loves us all. We're made in His image. We all have a choice where to spend eternity. We need to encourage one another. We need to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and follow His instructions. Obey His commands. When He says, bear fruit, do good works. Bear fruit. Do good works. It's not a question. Really, it's a command. Confess your sins when you do something wrong. We're going to sin. We always do and we will. And God will forgive us. And he always will. Now we got our last song that was actually the communion song too, but let's sing that. This is kind of really appropriate. We'll be washed clean. Remember that? White robes, we'll be washed clean. Number 330?
Yeah.